Welcome to a Burning Fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. From Acts chapter 13, verses 21 and 22, "And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." Paul was preaching in Antioch of Pisidia. He was reviewing the history of the people of Israel, especially noting the time that God selected David to be the king of Israel. God called David a man after mine own heart. That's a mighty fine compliment for anyone at any time in his life for God to so consider him. Many men find favor among their fellow men. Many even achieve glory from others. But David was highly regarded by the highest of the high. David was the second king over Israel, and if not the greatest of them all, he was certainly one of the greatest. He ruled at a time of the great spiritual and physical attainments of that nation. It was unique in that it was a time of building up. Solomon's reign was a time when many things were built, but Solomon's reign had about as many flaws as it did good points. And the building that Solomon was able to do was because of the great foundations that were laid by his father David. David was the writer of most of the Psalms of the Bible. He was a prophet of God, prophesying particularly concerning the Christ. And he was the ancestor of the Lord that had such a distinction that the people considered the Messiah to be the son of David. The early life of David may be considered relatively unimportant, although it provided for him the preparation that he needed. When Samuel came to the home of Jesse at the direction of the Lord to anoint a successor to Saul, David was not even considered sufficiently important for his father to have called him in from the fields to be considered. But when Paul writes about him centuries later, he assigns him true greatness, a man after God's own heart. What made David so great? I would suggest that there are several contributing factors. Men that are outstanding in character, great in stature before God and man, are not developed overnight. There is no one thing that makes them great, but rather a well-rounded development. All of us should want to have the right kind of character. There is no better source of wisdom for character building than the Word of God. And we want now to consider some of the things the Bible records that molded David. Then we can do our best to pattern ourselves accordingly, having an earnest desire to also be one after God's own heart. David was reared in a good home. And this is a credit to his parents, to Jesse his father, a worshiper of God. He was obedient to God's messenger, Samuel. Obviously, he was a loyal man to the law of Moses under which he lived. Jesse had instructed his sons in the ways of toil and usefulness and responsibility. David did not have the idle time to learn to squander and to misuse. And this is the basis of ruin for many young people. As the old adage says, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. There have been people to rise to commendable greatness of character that did not have good homes in their youth. They rose to those heights in spite of their home life, rather than because of it. Certainly any young person has a head start, however, when he has godly parents. A home with a moral and spiritual influence that provides him the solid foundation of honesty and integrity and responsibility, an appreciation for the distinction between right and wrong, a strong heritage. That is the basis by which he or she can make good decisions and intelligent decisions that are pleasing to God. And David remembered God in the days of his youth. It was Solomon that wrote it in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, but David had already lived it earlier. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Even as a youth, David had learned to depend on God. He cited how God had delivered him when he first met a lion and a bear while tending his sheep, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Early in life, he had learned to believe in God and to trust in God. And God approved the heart of David while he was a young man. And when Samuel was looking at Eliab, David's eldest brother, and considering him to be a possible king, God said to Samuel, "Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart." Obviously, God approved the heart of David because David was the one that was selected. David had not sown his wild oats, as the saying goes. And it is a mistake to think that young people must sow their wild oats. If they are so foolish as to do that, they will reap the harvest of regret and ruin. Youth can control themselves and attend to the urgent task of building character rather than dissipating those precious years in recklessness and sin. When David was out watching for the sheep entrusted to his care, he learned to respect the Creator of this world and to be mindful of God's protection and God's provision. David was great because he had a great and strong faith. He is listed among those of great faith in Hebrews chapter 11. His entire career was one that manifested faith. From his early days, he witnessed God's protection over him from the lion and from the bear, and in his fight with the giant Goliath, and in his sacred and inspired writings and prophecies, all of these times David manifested his faith in God. Listen to what he wrote. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Dear listening friend, few men ever walked in such faith as did David. When one of Israel's kings was to be noted as faithful men, it is said that he walked in the ways of David. David was great because he had respect for things holy and sacred. We know how he was pursued during the early years with Saul seeking his life. David had several opportunities to slay Saul and to be rid of that threat and of that danger, and yet he respected Saul as the anointed of the Lord and said, "I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed." He sought not to destroy what God had set apart. There is a drift, yea, more than that, a veritable ruin in the world today that shows disrespect for the holy things of God. There is disrespect for the church, and the Bible, and the standards of morality, and the commands of God. Even sometimes among brethren, there seems to be a growing disrespect for the use of the Lord's Day. God's authority is turned aside. The principles governing the home, and marriage, and parental responsibility, and worship, they're set aside for what people rather do. If anyone is to ever achieve greatness in the eyes of God, he or she must develop a keen sense of respect for holy things. And David was willing to sacrifice to God. Loyal service to God has always had its cost in every age. Many will live their lives through and die and be lost in hell because they would not surrender their own will to the will of their Creator and Judge. Christianity is unpopular in the world today because it demands much of the Christian. It calls for inconveniences and sacrifices. It means putting God first. Because Christians are to be living sacrifices before God, Romans 12 and verse 1. Some are simply unwilling to give up their sins and their evil pleasures and their dirty habits and their evil companionships even for a few hours of worship. Many are too worldly to ever go to heaven. They want what this world offers more than heaven, and when this world is over for them, they won't have heaven either. David was once offered, free of charge, everything that he would need to offer a sacrifice to God, but he refused it. He said, "I will surely buy it of thee at a price, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which cost me nothing." 2 Samuel 24:24. true spiritual greatness cannot be attained without a willingness to pay the cost, whatever is required. And David was a man of a penitent heart. He was capable of humbling himself and admitting, "I have sinned." And few men have sinned any more grievously than did David in his adultery with Bathsheba, and his multitude of crimes that he committed and instigated in trying to cover his sin with her and trying to cover them the wrong way. There were so many things amiss in David's life in connection with that transgression. And yet, when Nathan the prophet confronted him with his guilt, he no longer tried to hide it. He admitted it. He obviously repented of it. He said, "I have sinned against the Lord," 2 Samuel 12 and verse 13. If only all of us would be as honest and as humble as was David at that moment of penitence. And not until one will recognize guilt of sin will he ever seek forgiveness of his guilt. And not until one will acknowledge to himself and to God that he needs a Savior will he ever be great in the sight of God. We are much aware that the statement made by David concerning his greatness had to do with his early life. One might suppose that by the time David sinned with Bathsheba, that David could no longer be called a man after God's own heart, and there may be some merit in that evaluation. But there is also something to be said of David after that sin in the way he responded once he was convicted of it. Surely his reaction was the kind that would make God proud of him. And finally, David was great before God because he sought to build the house of God in order to honor God. And while his actions in that proposal did not meet with God's approval, his intentions certainly did. The Lord refused him permission to build the temple because he was a man of war. But he allowed his son Solomon to build it, and he allowed David to gather materials for its construction. The Lord said of it, "Thou didst well, that it was in thine heart." 1 Kings 8 and verse 18. Friend, God's house today is his church. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. The man usefully active and unselfishly interested in the upbuilding of the house of God is one that wants the church to prosper and to grow, numerically and spiritually, abounding in the ways of truth. Such a man today is a man after God's own heart. It was these kinds of qualities that made David so acceptable before God. And these things are worthy of our imitation. Surely, they can bring us the same glorification. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.